The other day, I was going through my phone, and I found, I like to go through from time to time to see pictures that I've taken and kind of see where I've been, because I forget, to be honest. And I ran across a picture, and I guess when I was looking at this picture, the words beautiful, majestic, graceful are not words any of you would say for this. And you may be wondering, why in the world am I showing you this picture? There has to be some kind of significance to this particular picture. And the truth is, no, there isn't. Okay, there's nothing significant about this picture. In fact, this is one of those pictures, I guess they would say, a face only a mother could love. And she's not here to confirm that, but she'd probably say yes. Now, I'm showing you all this picture this morning to show you a picture that I took roughly 10 minutes later. Okay? That doesn't look like the same person, does it? No, it doesn't. So I'm going to tell you all the truth. I don't know. Well, yeah, I think I remember why I did this on that time, because I was trimming my beard and I forgot to put the guard back on and I just shaved this strip out of it. That's why. I rarely do that, okay? But, to be honest, I had completely forgotten what my actual face had looked like. I would go to the mirror every morning for several days after this, walk up to the mirror, and just freeze. I would startle myself because I wasn't used to seeing that face staring back at me. And I was showing this to someone not too long ago, and they said, Philip, if you showed up and looked like that, I wouldn't know it was you. That's how it was. You know, I've become so accustomed to seeing, well, that's not much better, but I've become so accustomed to seeing that face that this one was completely unrecognizable to me. I wonder sometimes, from a spiritual standpoint, is that how it is sometimes with us? Maybe we get to the point to where we go to the mirror, we're used to seeing the same face over and over again, but over time our faces change, and over time we've allowed sin to overtake our lives that we don't recognize the person staring back at us in the mirror. In James chapter 1, beginning with verse 2, he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. So the question I want to pose this morning is this. Have we forgotten who we are? Have we forgotten what we're supposed to be? And our primary text this morning is going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 12. So if you want to turn your Bibles over there. We're going to be talking about a man this morning who, I will say, found himself in the situation that he completely forgot who he was. And of course, the man that goes along with the scripture reading we had this morning, the man we're going to be talking about is none other than King David, who God said himself was a man after his own heart. Yet, at this place in 2 Samuel chapter 12, David finds himself in a place where he has abandoned his faith, where he is not the person God chose to be the king, to lead his people, because he had allowed sin to completely overtake his life. Now, I think it's important to note that with David, multiple sins had already taken place. And just to give a brief summary, we're not going to go back and read it. I recommend going back and reading the chapters before chapter 12 here in your spare time. But just to kind of summarize what's happened, David had committed adultery with a woman who he saw one night. He saw one night she was bathing on a roof. And I think it's important to note that David didn't go out, I don't think, for the purpose of finding this woman. Okay, he happened to walk into this situation. But when he saw her, he liked what he saw, and he had the woman brought to him, and she became pregnant with his child. And this woman's husband was a loyal soldier of David's. And so he tried to cover it up. He tried to, and you can read about the different things he did to try to cover it up, what had happened. But ultimately, he comes to the conclusion that he's not going to be able to cover it up. And so he sentences her husband essentially to death. He sends her husband to a place in a battle where he knows he will be killed. And that'll solve all of his problems. But in the process, what he did, he committed adultery. He lied. He tried to cover it up. And he had an innocent man murdered. And at this point, David is not recognizable to God. So this morning, I want us to look at this story, and there are three things I want to mention that I think we can learn from this story when we're watching David, when we see the things that he's done. And I think we can learn from them, apply them to our lives, and hopefully not imitate what David did here. So the first thing I want to notice from the lesson this morning is this. We learn that sin is something that displeases God. And this was actually said specifically. If you'll go back to 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 27, it said, "And when the mourning was over," that is the mourning for Bathsheba's husband, who he had murdered, he didn't physically do it, "David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." You see, from the beginning of time, or from the beginning of time with man, sin has been something that has always displeased God. From the very beginning. In fact, it was sin that put us in the shape we're in now, to be honest, when Adam and Eve first sinned in the garden. Some people ask, well, what exactly does sin actually mean? Well, sin just simply means missing the mark. That is, when we decide we're going to do the complete opposite of what God has instructed us to do. When that is a transgression against the law. That's just simply doing the opposite. James says in James chapter 4, verse 17, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." That's what sin is. Sin is something that we make a conscientious effort to do. We know we've done these things. David knew he had sinned. Sin is also what we would call lawlessness. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness." Sin is lawlessness. Now, when we think of that word lawlessness, I would say most of us in here would consider ourselves law-abiding citizens. There are things we don't do. We probably aren't going to break into someone's house and steal things, or go to a store and pickpocket something, or try to cheat and steal money, things like that. We probably wouldn't do things to break the laws of the land. But we need to think about sin in the same terms as, if we do what we've been told not to do that God has told us in this book, we are breaking His law. We are going against His commands and His law. And I think one of the most important things for us to remember about sin is that it's something that is self-inflicted. We live in a society today where people are constantly looking to blame someone else for whenever they do something. And it's so sad. Even for their own sins that no one calls but them, we have people saying, well, no, I didn't sin. God made me like this. I was born like this. That's a message society is telling today. Sin, we make a conscientious effort. We know we are sinning. And we bring about it upon ourselves. Go back to James in chapter 1, just a few verses before the first verse I read this morning, beginning with verse 13. It says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by," notice what it says, "his own desire. Then the desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." You see, sin is something that separates us from God. Before Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they literally walked with God on earth. Do we ever think about that? How awesome that must have been to be able to walk with God here, him physically here on this earth. Yet their sin created this separation, and God could not be near them. God separated himself from them because of their sin. And it's because of sin, and it all started there, because of their sin, God had to come up with a plan for what to do. And of course, we know what that plan is. He sent Jesus so that we don't have to be victims of sin, so that we can have victory over death. But sin's always displeased God. Sin separates us from him. And that's a scary thought, to be separated from God because of something we've done on our own account. I think it's interesting here to note that in this story, David's sin was something that could not be hidden, even though he thought it was. To be honest, he thought no one knew what had happened. But God knew. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 12, he's told, "For you did it secretly." That's how we are today. Sometimes we'll do things secretly thinking, well, no one's watching, so I can get away with it. That's what we did as children. To be honest, a lot of adults do that too. They have this mind frame, if no one's watching me, I can get away with it. David thought he had gotten away with the multiple sins he had committed here. But of course, he didn't. And then the worst thing about sin is it ultimately leads to death. The Bible is very clear about that. In multiple places, we just read a verse that said that, but to help confirm that, turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Notice it says, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness?" Paul, he's saying here, is only one way or the other. You are a slave to sin or a slave to God. And all of us in here, I would say, want to be slaves to God. Certainly not sin. But the reality is we live in a world filled with slaves to sin, filled with people who willingly go against God's commands. And it's unfortunate. It really is. But we need to understand that our sin displeases God. When we sin, and we all do it, we know it, maybe we think we get away with it like David did, but it certainly displeases God. Number two is this. Sin is something that can make us forget who we are. You know, David needed to be reminded of his sin. And that's where we have Nathan come in. The prophet Nathan comes in, and he's there to serve a purpose to remind David what it is he has done. And just like we read this morning, basically what Nathan does, he tells David a story. He tells him the story that we read earlier this morning about this man who had this ewe lamb. And I think all of us in here can sympathize with this person, how devastating it must have been for this man to lose his, essentially, pet, right? We have pets. We love our pets. And, you know, we would hate for something like this to happen to one of our pets who we love. And we can sympathize. And apparently this story really struck a nerve with David as well. He became angry at what the man did. So angry, he said, this man needs to die. And he's going to repay him fourfold for the crime that he's done. Because he was completely wrong. David, as a boy who was a shepherd, probably felt a little more strongly than others may would, because he probably had a ewe lamb at one time who he had a bond with, who he loved and kept as his pet. And he had no pity for this man. No pity whatsoever. And then it was Nathan who reminded David of his sin. This whole scenario, this whole story that he set out in front, it ended with this. He said, you are the man. You're the one who had all of these things. Let's pick up reading in beginning with verse 7. Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your arms, and you gave the house of Israel and Judah. And if this were too little, I would have added much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. He's saying, have you forgotten what I've done for you? Have you forgotten all of these things I've done for you? I delivered you from Saul, who wanted to, he was out to kill him. He delivered him from him. He gave him all of these things, and he said, and if I didn't give you enough, if you would have asked, I would have given you so much more. You see, he needed to be reminded. Sometimes it takes drastic measures to remind someone of what they've done. It was a story. It was Nathan's scolding that reminded David of the sin he was in. The night Jesus was taken to be murdered, it was a rooster crowing that reminded Peter of what Jesus had told him earlier. We talked a little bit about that this morning in Bible class. How Jesus told him, you're going to deny me. Peter said, no, I'm not. And he did. But when he heard that rooster crowed, it struck him a memory. It triggered a memory. And he remembered what it was that Jesus had said. Sometimes people need to be reminded of sin in a dramatic way. And I would say these two examples are in fact dramatic examples of a person being reminded of sin. Sometimes it doesn't take that. But oftentimes it does, just to wake someone up, to make them realize, oh yeah, I did do that thing. I think for us as people, it's easy to identify the sins and problems in other people's lives. Now, we can tell when, you know, brother or sister so-and-so has done something. Yep, it's obvious. But sometimes what isn't as obvious is us, the things that are wrong in our lives. Jesus, he actually speaks about this in Matthew chapter 7. This is, you know what this is? This is hypocrisy. This is what he's talking about. Beginning with verse 3 in Matthew 7, he said, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." The issue here isn't the fact that we don't need to recognize sin and we don't need to warn people about sin. That's not what Jesus is saying here. He's saying the problem is when all you do is notice other people's sin and you forget that you've got some issues too. It's much harder for us to realize when we are in sin. And sometimes we need to be reminded. You see, sin is something that can completely destroy our conscience. Maybe we feel guilty. Maybe we feel bad the first time we fall into temptation. Maybe the second time. Maybe the third time we still feel a little bad. But then the more you do something over and over and over, you forget. And that picture, it had been probably 5 years since I'd seen my face. That's why it startled me so much. We forget. Sin can overtake our lives and make us forget who we are. It can destroy us. The last thing this morning is simply this. Sin has its consequences. Now, David's sin had two direct consequences here. That two things God says going to happen because of what you've done. The first one Nathan mentions beginning with verse 9 and 11. Basically, he tells him there's going to be violence and unrest in your family because you have chosen to be violent, to take up the sword against your eye. He said, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you and out of your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbors, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun." He said, these things are going to happen to your family because of what you've done. The second consequence was this, just that the child that Bathsheba was pregnant with was going to die. And we see that in verse 12 through 15. I think too many times, like David, if we fall into sin, if we think, no one else knows but me, we forget that sin can have consequences to people outside of us. People sometimes develop this thinking, well, sin, it only affects me. But we look at this case, and that's not what happened at all. David's sin affected his entire family. He lost more than one child because of this. And you can read about all the turmoil that happened with David's family because of this incident. It all comes back to this. This is the punishment that God gave to David. Even though we think our sins are done in secret, even though we think, well, it's only going to affect me if I get caught, it's not going to affect anyone else. It always has lasting effects on the people around us. And we forget about that. We forget about what our sins can do, not just to us, but to our families, to the people we love. David didn't think about this. He didn't think about this when he committed the multiple sins he did. He didn't know that he would have children die because of what he did. Maybe that would have changed his thinking a little. We don't know the consequences that sin can bring about until they come about. But I think the good news for us today is that God will forgive us of our transgressions. He did that with David. Verse 13, Nathan said, "The Lord also has put away your sin, and you shall not die." Notice what David said when Nathan gave him the example of this man and the ewe lamb. He said, "He deserves to die." Based on David's words, if he was the man, he what? He deserved to die. But not just that. According to the law, the punishment for the things David had done was death. But God granted grace and mercy to David at a time when that wasn't done very often. During a time where he didn't grant grace and mercy to people very often under the old law. But David was one of those examples. You know, I'm thankful that we today are not living during the times David was, or during the times of the old covenant, because we have it so much better than they did. You know, and we have to do so, you know, they had to do so much more to get so much less than what we do. We need to be grateful. You see, the truth is, those people who lived under the old covenant, they weren't good enough for the law. And you know what? If we were taken and put during that age, we wouldn't be either. But we should be thankful and grateful that we live in a different age where we do have access to forgiveness of sins. Because we wouldn't have been good enough. And then another thing we see here is that this is a really important lesson that I think we need to take away. Just because God forgives sins doesn't necessarily mean that he takes away the consequences. Let's look at verse 14. I read the first half of verse 14. I'm going to read the whole thing again. I read the first half of 13. I'm going to read it again and then go into 14. "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die." But notice the transition word we see coming here in verse 14. "Nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, the child who is born to you shall die." David was forgiven of his sins. They were taken away at a time when God didn't do that very often. But the consequence of his sin still stayed. His family was in turmoil. That still happened. All of that still happened. The child still died. So God essentially is telling David, even though I've put away this sin, even though you are not going to die because of this, there's still going to be consequences. And for us, we need to remember that sin, regardless of forgiveness, can still leave traces and consequences. It's something that completely destroys our lives if we allow it to. And this is the sin that literally did destroy not only David's life, but the lives of many people around him. So, us today, we never need to allow sin to completely overtake our lives to where we completely forget who we are, who we serve, and who we're supposed to be. You know, the truth is, every single one of us here today, I think, are guilty of the exact thing that we've seen David do. Not the exact sins, but we've been guilty of thinking we've gotten away with something, hiding it, and then
that ultimately comes out and brings about consequences. And if you haven't, you will be there. You know, I know we got a lot of young children in the audience. All of us are guilty. Sometimes we become oblivious to the fact that sin has taken over our lives and we're blinded. We forget. We forget what we were supposed to look like, and we get used to maybe the mask we've been wearing or the face we've been, you know, showing others. And sin is something that ultimately does bring about death, but it doesn't have to. For the Christian, John said in 1 John 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us of all sins. That's an amazing thought. And we should be grateful for that. Because just like David, we sin. We're going to mess up. You know, maybe you're someone who's here today and you find yourself in the same kind of situation like David. Find yourself in a situation where you've been living in sin and have completely forgotten who you look like. For me, I startled myself a lot when I saw my actual face in the mirror. The thing about it, though, as the days went by and as my beard grew back, I stopped jumping when I would look in the mirror. I stopped, you know, being startled or scared. That's what sin does to us. It may startle us at first, but after a while it just completely goes away and we maybe even get used to it. We don't need to be like that. We need to make sure we're living our lives according to God's law so that we don't forget who we are, that we don't forget who we serve. This morning, if you find yourself in any need to respond to the invitation, we'd like to give you the opportunity to do that. If you've never obeyed God's word, you have an opportunity to do that this morning through faith, repentance of your sins, confessing that Jesus is God's Son. You can come forward this morning and leave this morning a child of God. It may be that you have sin in your life and you want that sin to be taken away. God says he'll do it. God will forgive us of our sins when we fall short. Whatever your need may be, please come while we stand and sing.